If you're a spirit-filled, Bible-believing, heaven-bound child of God, and if you make that resolution, you know, I'm going to follow Jesus, you ain't got to worry. You know why? Because it ain't your love that's going to sustain you. It's His love that will sustain you as you follow Him. Too many times we make it about us, even following Him, and yet it's Him who maintains us in our following because He loves you so much. Make that your New Year's resolution, that you will follow Jesus, and He will make sure that He follows through on that resolution. All right? You guys ready? Get in your Bible. In your Bible, raise your hand. Oh, I got one more thing, one more announcement. The 28th of this month, so we get two Sunday night specials, one with Jay Sergett, and then the other one going to be on the 28th, Sunday the 28th. Double check your calendars. Is that a Sunday? I get choke calendars over here. I'm pretty sure it's the 28th. Anybody got it? Yeah? 27. Okay. So, okay, I only want to open them a little bit, okay? So, we have to grab this one. The 27th, okay? And that's the night we're going to start. We may do two Sundays. We'll see how far we get on the 27th. In fact, if you got your Bibles already, open it up to 1 Corinthians 14. Open it up to 1 Corinthians 14. And this is what that Sunday night going to be based on. Sunday night, the 27th, starting at 6 o'clock. You're probably going to be right here in the chapel. First Corinthians 14, verse 12. This is what Sunday night going to be about. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. That's what it's going to be about. I'm going to do some teaching on the spiritual gifts. We're going to go through these chapters and we're going to look at the importance of the spiritual gifts that God has given us. But they're for one reason. That's for building up the body of Christ. It's not about an emotional trip. It's about God empowering you with these wonderful gifts that He has given to the church. And so we're going to begin to do that. So what day? What time? 6 o'clock. Okay, you know why I do that now? Because how many times after I announce something and right after church, call what time was? When? All right. All right, so it's New Year. Shana Tova. A good year. Let's pray for that. Pray for each other that we would have a good and sweet New Year. And so we're not jumping back into the book of Revelation just yet. We've been out of it for about a month now. It'll be there when we get back. I can guarantee you that. Okay? But I'm going to go through this week and next week. We're going to do two topical messages on the same subject. And the name of this sermon, this message, whatever you want to call it, is a new year and a new mind. Okay? A new year and a new mind. Okay? I never say brain. I never say new brain. Okay? But a new mind. If I came up to you and says, hey, I can give you a new mind, you'd be like, what? But yet, that's what the Bible tells us. The Bible teaches us so clearly that God wants to give us a new mind, not a new brain. Not a new brain. How many of you, I'd like to see a show of hands, how many of you ever seen the movie Young Frankenstein? Raise your hand. You guys know where we're going with this. Young Frankenstein. A lot of you guys are either too young or just don't know what is funny, okay? It's a funny movie. And it tells a story from the grandson of Dr. Frankenstein, the guy who made the monster. It tells a story from the grandson who inherits all the stuff from the grandfather, the castle, the laboratory, and all of that. And I love Gene Wilder. The guy's just funny. And Gene Wilder plays Dr. Frankenstein, the young Frankenstein. So he comes, and he gets all the stuff. He inherits the stuff, and he inherits the servant, the grandfather's servant. And what is his name? Not Igor. 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 It's not pronounced Igor. It's Igor. And he got the big eyes going on. So he makes the monster, but he needs the brain. So he sends Igor, who's not the sharpest tool in the shed, to get the brain from the laboratory. So he grabs a normal brain in a jar. He turns and he drops the jar, and the brain is on the floor. So now he has to grab another brain, and this is what happens.
Now, that brain that you gave me, was it Hans Delbrück's? No. Ah. Good. Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in?
And you won't be angry?
I will not be angry.
Abby someone.
Abby who?
Abby Normal.
Abby Normal.
I'm almost sure that was the name.
Are you saying that I put an abnormal brain into a 7.5 foot long, 54 inch wide gorilla?
What?
Is that what you're telling me? Quick, quick, get him up!
What? Snooze to the bush, yes?
Well, I don't sometimes think, I think we all do have abnormal brains when it comes to God. Because God's trying to define his majesty, his greatness, all these things he is to us. But with our finite human brain, we cannot comprehend it. That's his heart. His desire is to reveal to us who he is. You see, he's not like young Frankenstein where when we miss it, he doesn't come alongside of us and choke us by our neck and starts bouncing us around. Don't you know that? That's not our Abba. That's not the God I know. You see, he knows that we do have abnormal brains when it comes to understanding of who he is because we have this thing called a sinful nature in us. And it distorts the view of who this great God of ours is. One of the things he is, he's gracious. He's kind, he's merciful, he's righteous. He is holy. He is patient with us. It's us who go around and start grabbing other believers by the neck and bouncing them around. Don't you know that? Guilty. What, bro? You're an abnormal brain. I got called out on that by my own pastor because he saw from the very onset when I got saved that God had his hand on me in the understanding of scripture and teaching and all of that. And I began to get arrogant about it. Because there was people sitting in the church 20, 30 years. And I was teaching them basic biblical things. And I told him one day, I said, bro, what's up with these people? They've been sitting in church for 30 years now, 20 years, bro. They don't know this stuff. Oh, I thought he was going to slap me upside the head. He says, brother, don't you ever go there again. He said, God has gifted you. He's giving you something great, but that's not for you to hold over anybody. And I began to understand something, that we all grow at different rates in our relationship with God. We're all at different stages with God in our relationship with him, if you have a relationship with him. Like I said before, like I said, Christmas Eve night, all of us know Kamehameha, know of Kamehameha, but none of us know him personally. See, all of us may know of Jesus, but do you have a relationship with him? You can call yourself a Christian all you like. That's me walking into one bakery and say, hey, I'm a donut because I'm in a bakery. Well, I go to church, so I'm a Christian. That don't make you a believer, gang. Being born again is what makes you a believer. You see, and we have to begin to develop this mindset. We have to begin to start thinking this way along the lines of the Bible. You see, we get confused, the brain and the mind. This is how I pulled up this definition of the difference between the brain and the mind. Your brain is part of the visible, tangible world of the body. Your mind is part of the invisible, transcendent world of thought, feeling, attitude, belief, and imagination. The brain is the physical organ most associated with mind and consciousness, but the mind is not confined to the brain. You see, the brain is like a computer. If I had a laptop right here, they got two computers back there. If we take those computers and we pull out all the software or the programs in there, guess what you end up with? A chunk of metal and plastic. That's it. The computer is the brain. Without programs and software in that computer, it can do nothing. And the Bible defines our mind, the functioning of the brain, this way. In the Greek, the word is nous, the mind. The mind compromising the faculties of perceiving and understanding, those of feeling, judging, and determining. So whenever you read the word mind, when you read in your Bible and you come across the word mind, that's how it defines the functioning of the mind. But there's a deeper spiritual side to our mind that we have to understand. And it's defined this way, the same word, that word nous, it's defined this way also. Reason in the narrower senses as a capacity for spiritual truth, the higher powers of the soul, the faculty of perceiving divine things, of recognizing goodness, and of hating evil. So I titled this message, New Year, New Mind. That's for all of us. You see, these minds of ours is like those computers. The software get put into it. The programs get put into it. And whatever the programs get put into your into those computers, that's what those computers are going to spit out. And so it is with our minds. If we all we're taking in as believers is the things of this world, guess what we're going to spit out? The things of the world. But if we're taking in Jesus, we're taking in the things of the Word of God, we're taking in our understanding, growing in our understanding of who God is, guess what comes out? Jesus. Waxer taught us this line a long time ago. He said, Jesus in, Jesus out. It's that simple. Jesus in, Jesus out. You know what is amazing, though? Those computer programs we put into there, if you go lift that Apple computer back there right now, I'd say it weighs maybe about, 3 pounds, something like that. You know that all that software you put in there? You cannot see it. You cannot feel it. It doesn't weigh anything. You can put one ton of programs into that computer. It ain't going to change the weight. Why I bring this to the table? All you guys looking at me right now, and me looking at you, I cannot see the real you. I don't know why you're here. I don't know what's been put in you. The real you is your mind. But what is crazy is this. I cannot see the real you. Your actions may or may not reveal the real you. You know how many times you had to do this, I had to do this, you had to put on the face, but that's not really what's going on internally. There's some of you sitting here right now. You got the church face on, but inside you're dying. It's not the real you. It's not what's going on. But you know what is crazy about that? You can put in all this stuff in your mind, and other things can come out, but God knows exactly what's going on. He knows what's going on internally. He knows why we think the way we think. What is our motives? What is your motive for being here today? God knows. I don't know. I cannot see that real you. The mind is a crazy thing. Apple, IBM have nothing over this computer. This is the greatest computer ever made. And this thing gets hacked all the time. Like Lana was saying, the prayer request for people stuck in this world of computerization and just living their lives with computers. Same thing with this one. We worry about the metal and plastic one. Do we worry about this one? New year, new mind. Check this out. Romans 12:2 says this. And do not be conformed to this world. It's up on the screen. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Huh. The renewing of the software. So that you may prove that what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, your own choice. Your mind either going to be conformed to the things of this world as a child of God. The unbeliever, before I knew Jesus, never mattered. That's all I knew. I never knew I had one choice. So my mind was constantly being conformed to this world. What is incredible in 1 John 2:15, 1 John 2:15 says, we are to hate the world. What does God mean by that? Well, we are to hate the world. We are to hate the system, because the system of the world is by Satan. And if we're being conformed by the world, then guess what can come out of you? The world. Paul says right here in Romans 12, but be transformed. That means to be changed by the renewing of this, the mind. A change of the software. We got hacked, gang. See, when we are born again, remember, I'm speaking to the believer right now. When we are born again, transformation from the old person to the new child of God begins, not ends. You see, sometimes we think, okay, yeah, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven right on, and we make that the end. That's not the end. That's actually just the beginning. That's the beginning, not the end. And too many times, Christians just spend themselves, yeah, I've got my e-ticket, I'm going to heaven. Great. But that's just the beginning. And people, believers, end up just hanging out there. This whole thing is an ongoing process. Look at what Paul says also in 2 Corinthians 5:17. No worries. If you're new in Bible, raise your hand. We're going to get you a Bible because we're going to jump into the Bible. You're going, bro, you're already in the Bible. No. We're just scratching the surface here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. 20 years ago, I can guarantee you, not just the holy people in here, but the locals in here wouldn't want nothing to do with me. I can guarantee you that. You ever go to Molokai and you go ask people about who I am, if they know me and stuff, you're going to get two responses. Which one? The one before Jesus or the one after Jesus? Because that's true. You become a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. New things come. But then why do we as believers still cling to the old things sometimes in our lives? Because of this. Because we don't stand on that promise. Wait, I'm a new creature in Christ. Not everybody, I told you, not everybody's a child of God. We make this mistake. It's not what the Bible teaches. We're all creatures of Christ. We're all creatures of God, but we're not all children of God. That's why you have to be born again. And when you're born into the family of God, you now become a child of God. But at the same time, the makeup that you are begins to be transformed. You become a new creature. I know some of you in here, and I've seen that transformation in the last 3 years. Mel Pereira. And others. Seen what God has done in your life. Because the truth of that scripture. And the mindset begins to change. The way you perceive things, the way you look at things. This is an ongoing process, guys. That's why we cannot be like Dr. Frankenstein and going around shaking believers up and down. Like, well, you don't know this. This is a process. We're all going through this. We're learning and growing in this. How do I know that? Well, look at this scripture. In Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self. There it is. With its evil practices. And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. See, we are being renewed. That's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. You know that after I got born again, after I was saved, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I would be in heaven if something was to happen to me. But I was still dealing with a lot of issues. A lot of issues. And one of them was suicide. I still wanted to blow my brains out, even after I was born again. But I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that what Jesus did for me, I was secured. And then finally, God lifted that mean spirit that was upon me. Not in me, upon me. That spirit of oppression that wanted me to blow out my brains. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I would be with the Lord because of who he is and what he's done. But the process is continuing. I lived on the North Shore of Oahu for 4 years. As a surfer, that's like a dream come true. I lived right on the beach in Wailua. Got up every morning, looked right out my bed, looked right out on break, right out there. But because I was still being, the Lord was still processing me through things, that the creature was still being renewed, I would have to not surf certain places because certain kind of people would be in the water. And I would get angry. And so I would just stay away. And eventually, God renewed my thinking there that, like, you know what? These guys may be aggressive. They may be howly. But I want you to share with them. You know how much soul he changed me in his attitude about surfing and angry with howlies in the water? Where you at, James? Stand up. Tim, stand up. Look at these two howly boys. That was my surf partners the other day. That's how much God has changed this process of a new creature. That wasn't struggle. That was a real struggle for me. See, what happens, guys, this mind of ours has to change. How does it change? Well, the more our knowledge of God is developed, true knowledge, that's what he says. Look back at Colossians 3. I don't know if it's still up on the screen. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. You see, the more we begin to understand who God is through Jesus, the more we're changed. That's the deal. Listen, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve fell. They eat the fruit. It wasn't an apple, okay? It says fruit, okay? They eat the fruit. They fail. You know, this is the mistake we make. Adam and Eve were the only humans made in God's image. You and I are not. We're being restored to that image. If that isn't true, then why does Paul say in Romans 8:29 that we are to be conformed into his image? God doesn't have a sinful nature. Adam and Eve was only direct sons and daughters of God. They were sinless until they entered into rebellion against God. And then that sinful nature was passed on down the line. God is trying to renew us back into that image that he originally intended us to be. Where does it begin? Our minds. Remember the word newness? It's how we perceive things, how we see things, how we accumulate knowledge, all this stuff. And so God says, use this mind to understand who I am, the true knowledge of who I am. Remember, the mind is how we think, which leads to an understanding of who God is. You can go out there today and go ask people just randomly, who do you say God is? You can come up with everything under the sky. Paul's saying here, we have to be renewed by the true knowledge. Not my knowledge, not the knowledge of Imiola, not the knowledge of some denomination, not the knowledge of some church, not the knowledge of church history, not the knowledge of the church fathers, but the true knowledge of who Jesus is. And the Holy Spirit will begin to show you. The Holy Spirit himself is our teacher. It's a promise from God. And he'll begin to show you what is true and what is not true. Does that mean we just ignore things from the past? No, you guys know me. I bring history all the time to the table. But that's not where true knowledge comes from. The true knowledge comes from his word and his spirit convicting us of what is true. The renewing. See, God is trying to get us to think and perceive things the way he thinks and perceives how we ought to live Let me say that again. God is trying to get us to think and perceive things the way he thinks and perceives how we ought to live. Back in Genesis again, in the garden, God says that he made man in what? His image. You know, so many times you stop there, it actually says image and likeness. The image of God is a triunal image. You are a triunal being. You have a spirit, soul, body, been shattered by sin. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Triunal. Three beings, one God. You're made in that image. But it's been shattered by sin. He says likeness. In the Hebrew, it is talking about the way we perceive things, the way we think. Sin now enters in, so that's messed up. And so God is trying to restore us as his children now, those who have been born again, to normality. That's what he's trying to do. That's why the Bible speaks so much of the mind. Not the brain, the mind. See, one of the things that comes with being born again is our eternal life. Now, let me ask you. I don't know how I should ask this question. But I'm just going to ask him. Let's not show hands. How many of you in here are born again? You got to answer that one. How many of you are born again? See, one of the things you inherit is eternal life as a born-again believer. Remember, John tells Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he says, you must be born again or else you will not see the inside of the kingdom of God. So once you're born again, you inherit this wonderful gift called eternal life. But this is where the confusion comes in. We tend to think that eternal life means that I'm going to live forever. I'm going to have life forever. I'm going to get to breathe and walk and function. I can have life. Animation of this body or the new bodies that are going to come. That's what we think life is. That's going to be forever. We've got a problem with that. Because according to Jesus, unbelievers are going to live forever too. They're going to have eternal life in the sense of breathing and animation of the body and all that. They're going to have eternal life. The human being is an eternal soul. The unbeliever is going to have eternal life, and the believer is going to have eternal life in the sense of living, like breathing and all our functions. We have this distorted view, I think, of what the Bible calls eternal life. See, to have eternal life for the believer, the Bible defines it this way. To have eternal life means to live as God intended us to live. That's what it means to have eternal life. See, life in the English is a noun, person, place, thing. Living is a verb. It's a doing. It's an action. So let me ask you something. With this thing called eternal life. How long will we live this way? How long will we live the way that God originally intended us to live? Hint, it's called eternal life. What is eternity? Oh, a place to get plenty of time. No. It's a place that is absent of time. In eternity, there is no time. Wrap your mind around that one. God is eternal. He's from eternity past, and he's eternity future. And the moment you become born again, God says, okay, you have eternal life. Not only that you're going to be able to live, as in life, breathing, and all of that for eternity, but now you're going to be able to live the way God intended you to live. But my question begins, and my question is this. When does eternity begin for you as a believer? Now. Eternity begins now. The moment you gave your life over to Jesus, Jesus says, you have eternal life. I give you this wonderful gift by my grace because he put your faith in who I am and what I've done. He gives you this wonderful gift called eternal life. So it begins at that moment. So that means then we should be living eternally. We should be living for eternity. So what does that mean, living for eternity or living with an eternal mindset. See, living eternally the way God intended us to live equals eternal life. It means eternal life. Check this out. Before you were born again, I don't care how good you were, how nice of a person you was. I don't care if you had the good job going on, the nice home, the good husband, good wife, whatever, good kids, all of that. I don't care if you had that. Or you was just as radical and messed up and jacked up as me. Before you came to Jesus, guess what? You was on a path of destruction just like me. You was on a path of eternal destruction. Well, you may have had a nice things going on in this life, but you rejected Jesus as Lord, Savior, God, the gospel message, you rejected all of that. You were on the same path that I was. I was just getting there more quickly. That's all. That was it. How do I know that? Well, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. These will pay. Well, who is the these? You go back and read 2 Thessalonians. It's talking about the unbeliever. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. What is eternal destruction? Being separated from God. Being eternally separated from God. Remember, eternity is a place with no time. So forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, you can be separated from who God is, his power, his glory. See, for me, I define eternal destruction this way. Being separated from God's presence for eternity, left on your own understanding with no help from God. That's hell. What was Kilolo's scripture for this morning? I never talked to him. Lead not what? See, in hell, people are going to be leaning on their own understanding. That's eternal destruction. Man, when left on his own, causes all kinds of problems. See, eternal life is just the opposite of that. Eternal life is living in the presence of God the way God intended humans to live. I showed you before the predicament we're in with God is a legal predicament. It's a legal predicament. You and me, and every human being who has walked on the face of the earth and will ever walk on the face of this earth, is guilty of violating every law that God has given to humans in how we ought to live as humans. We're all guilty of that. It's a legal matter. And God says, okay, you, because of your sinful nature, this is all you know. This is all you know how to live. And he says, I want to give you eternal life, as in living. How I intended you to live. I'm your creator. I know what is perfect for you. I know what is good for you. I want to give you eternal life. I want you to live this way for eternity, the way I intended you to live. That's why it's so important for you guys to come and hear Jay Sergett on the 20th. Because he can talk to us. He can show us the importance of knowing God as a creator. Because if he's creator, then he goes, I made you. I know the best way for you to live. And he says, if you trust me, if you put your faith in me, watch, I'm going to give you this for eternity. The way he wants us to live. See, so our mindset was on the path of destruction. As I said, I don't care how innocent you was, how good you was, but if you rejected Jesus Christ, you're still on that eternal path of destruction, just like me. So our mindset was on the path of destruction, but now our mindset, as children of God, those who have been born again, need to be an eternal one. It has to be an eternal mindset. We have to set our things on the things above. What is that all about? Well, now open your Bibles. We're actually going to go to Colossians 3 with me. Open your Bibles, Colossians 3. If you're next to a window, just bring down the upper windows, guys. Get some air going in here. I see you guys using your bulletin for fans already. Colossians chapter 3. verse 1. It begins with, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Huh. There it is. I cannot say it any plainer. That's the words of God. The Holy Spirit inspiring Paul to write this. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, what does that mean? If you've been born again, if you're in a body of Christ, and if you're in Christ, he says this should be our mindset. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind, nuez, the way we think, perceive things, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. See, Paul now, he's going to begin in this letter to the church in Colossae, he's going to begin to define for the believer what it means to have an eternal mindset. He wrote this thousands of years ago to a church in Colossae in Asia Minor, but it's still applicable, very applicable, must be applied in our lives as believers today, thousands of years later here in Waimea. Verse 2 again, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Verse 3. For you have died, and your life, if you're taking notes, just write down the word Zoe, Z-O-E. That's the Greek word for life. For you have died, and your life, your Zoe, is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, your Zoe, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. For you have died, and your life, your Zoe, the way we ought to live. That's what this word is trying to define for us. Your way of living is hidden in Christ. Because why? Christ is the way we ought to live. And one day this can come to full revelance for all of us. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Paul is saying, look, one day Yeshua is going to let everybody know, everybody in, who's who and who belongs to him. And he's going to say, this is the way you ought to live for eternity. See, this word Zoe means life, real and genuine. A life active and vigorous. Devoted to God, blessed in the portion, even in this world, of those who put their trust in Christ. But after the resurrection and to be consummated by a new ascension, among them a more perfect body. I should get a big amen there. And to last forever. That's what this word Zoe means. It means to have life and have it the way God intended it. And one day, when the revelation of Jesus comes, you're going to even have the new, cool, revved up bodies that he promised us in 1 Corinthians 15 and other places. How many of you can use a new body right now? That's the promises of God. He says, one day this is going to be revealed. The whole package is going to be revealed. See, when in John 10:10, it says that the thief, Satan, only actually false teachers, that's the context, but the false teachers are driven by Satan. John 10:10 says that the thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus continues with that, but he says this, but I come to give you life and give it you. How? That's what he's talking about, Zoe. About living the way God intended us to live eternally, even in this present age. That's clear biblical teaching. If we are to live for eternity, our mind should be set above, not here. This is all fading. It's all dying. It's all temporal. Are we so overly concerned with the temporal, the things that are fading and dying, that we forget about the eternal? Our mindset needs to be set on the things above. Verse 5, Colossians 3:5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. I call this the do-nots of eternal thinking. The do-nots of eternal thinking. We're going to look at a few more in 8 and 9, verses 8 and 9, more do-nots. But guys, when we read the do-nots in the Bible, it's interesting. When you study from the rabbis and you stuff, and they break down the 613 commandments. And that's what we have, not just 10. We have 613 commandments given to us in the Old Testament. And forget the exact numbers. I think it's 300 and something in the what they call negative commandments. And then another 200 and something in the positive commandments. What is negative commandments? That's the do nots. The positive commandments is the do's. And so whenever we read the do nots, it's not like God is being legalistic with us and saying, hey, bro, stop doing that. You know, don't be doing that, shaking us by our neck. He's saying, the reason why I don't want you doing this is because this is not an eternal way of living. The true knowledge of God. When we begin to understand God, we understand this. Look back at verse 5 again. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. God is not immoral. God is not impure. He's not passionate in evil ways. He doesn't have evil desires. He doesn't have greed. And nor is he an idolater. See, God says, this is eternal life. To become more like I intended you. What is that intention? To be conformed into his image. That's eternal life, gang. That's eternal life. It's not just living and breathing forever. It's a way to live, and it's a godly way. Colossians 6 now, 3:6. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. Oh, it's a path of destruction. See, God is loving, kind, merciful, patient. All these wonderful things, but he's also righteous. And he will judge one day. And he will destroy everything and everybody that perpetuate unrighteousness. What does it mean to destroy? He's going to separate himself eternally from these people. They're going to be eternally separated from God. That's eternal destruction. Verse 8. But now you also, speaking to the believers, but now you also. Put them all aside. Here's some more don'ts. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. So here's some more don'ts because this is not how God operates. Remember, God's purpose is to restore us back to normality, how he originally intended us to live and to live life abundantly, and that is to live like him. We're not to become gods. We'll never become gods, but he wants us to live in the way he designed life to be so we can enjoy it to its fullest. See, we get this wrong attitude about not doing something. Not to do something is to do something, actually. Tend to think, oh, I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'm not going to do that. Then that means I'm not doing them. No. Not to do something is to do something. Let me define that. Not doing something means you're doing something about it. Does that make sense? So you guys are confused on that one. Not doing something about it is actually doing something about it. If Ann and I have a disagreement, I get one choice. I can get angry with her and respond in my flesh. Or I don't do that. That means I'm doing something about it. I'm not going to go there. So doing is not means just, okay, not going to do it. No, you're actually doing something to benefit yourself when you're not doing it. That's what God wants us to how God wants us to live. When we look at these things that are from the sinful nature, that is evil and pilau. That's a word for us to use, pilau, the Hawaiian culture. Then we got to do something about it. What is the doing something about it? Not going there. Not going there. So it's not just about not doing, it's about doing something about it by not doing it. Go back, listen to the tape if you're confused on that, okay? Colossians 3:10 now. And have put on the new self who is being renewed. We read this earlier, to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man. But Christ is all and in all. Wow. See, Paul now is saying the more we think eternally, this will lead to more eternal living, and then we are conformed more into the image of God. Like I said, Tim and James. Could never be in the water with guys like that before. How many of you know who Kelly Slater is? Raise your hand. 11-time world champion. You know he came to Molokai and the boys never even let him surf over there? Why? Because he was holy. It's the mindset. Paul says here in verse 11, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ in all and in all. We read when we was in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, it says that every tribe, tongue, and nation will be there worshiping God. You see, the more eternal mindset we have, guess what you have a less of? Big word that you hear all the time today, racism. When we think eternal, because God, guess what? He made the Popolo, he made the Hawaiian, he made the Japanese, he made the Filipino, he made the Chinese, he even made the Portuguese. Sometimes we think he made a mistake. No. But God made them all. He says, I love them all. So in the body of Christ, guess what? We probably have 3/4 of the world's nationality right here. And it says, he's not saying, hey, you cannot be the Hawaiian. You cannot be the Haole. You cannot. He's saying, when we come together, that's not the priority. Eternal thinking is, you, my brother, I'm your brother. You, my sister, I'm your brother. Because why? It's not the distinction of the color of our skin, our language, or anything. It's about the blood of Jesus who made us born again. He said, this is eternity. You stuck with me for eternity, gang. Will I get rid of racism? Then get people saved and start discipling them on what it means to have eternal life. You cannot legislate things like this. You cannot change laws. Or I should say, you cannot make laws that go and legislate in people's conscience, in their mind, that, oh, I cannot be racist anymore. It's still in them. Remember, we cannot see the real person. And God says, how this has changed is by being born again and then now living an eternal life because I love them all. I love them all. That's an eternal mindset, gang. You know what is sad? One of the places I see this least lived out is in the body of Christ. Oh, it may not be about the color of your skin, but might be, oh, I go to so-and-so's church. Or I belong to this denomination. Or I read this and I understand that. We're all one in Christ. My kuleana is to help build up, never to tear down. You know what is the most draining thing for a pastor? It's not the fact that Auntie Leslie has cancer. It's not the fact that Eli has cancer right now, going through I don't know how many number of days of chemotherapy. That's not the hard ones. Being a pastor, being in the body of Christ, you know what is the hard one? The nitpicking, the backbiting, the pettiness. I belong to so-and-so. No, you either belong to Jesus or you don't. Doesn't matter the banner, the building, the denomination. He died for blue, black, white, brown. You Filipino, be as Filipino as you can, but put Jesus in the front of that, Donald. That's why Mel comes up here and shares the way he shares, because he's Portuguese. But he's being all he can for Jesus as a Portuguese. There is. There is no distinction with Jesus. That was my old creature. Somebody like Tim or James. It's because of the color of their skin. And now we all one in Christ. And by the way, I was a little concerned for you two boys the other day because when we went jumping in the water, it was all brothers in the water. Okay? I had your back. See, that's what it means to live for eternity. It's not just that we're going to be there. It's mean living the way God intended us to live. Now, let's jump back into Colossians 3, verse 12. Now, Paul is about to lay down the core of an eternal thinking person. This is the core of an eternal thinking person. Verse 12, Colossians 3, 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another. Get rid of the pettiness, guys. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. How black and white can it be to have an eternal mindset, guys? Verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. That's the core of a person who is thinking eternally. Now, it says there in verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Now listen, so what does that mean? That we're supposed to always be happy and singing songs to one another? No, no. Harry comes up to you singing. Edie comes up, right on. I sit there and listen. I come up and singing, run. Notice where we're supposed to be singing the praises. In our heart and to who? To God. To God. See, guys, if we're praising God, if we're praising God, and if our hearts is full of thanksgiving as we look around ourselves with everything that God has given us, all this other stuff, the pettiness, the ways of the world, it all begins to fade away. It's weird how that happens, but it's cool. If my mindset, if I come into a situation or environment and I come in there, I'm filled up with the Lord, I've been in prayer, I've been singing, whatever, I've been just listening to a Bible study in there, it's hard to get me in the wrong mood. But if I come in there and I've been filled up by the world and everything, and you say something dumb, guess what? I'm going to attack you. It's a sinful nature. An eternally thinking person will be praising God. We're praising God. We're going to be full of all these wonderful things that God has given to us. You're looking at a man who literally watched another man lying face down in his blood, dying, and laughed. And laughed. Now, you Haole, Hawaiian, whatever, I'm going to be the first guy to help you up. New creature in Christ. Have I obtained it perfectly? No. No way. Paul says we haven't gotten there yet. None of us have. And that's why verse 13 is so important. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against one another, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. It's part of the mindset of an eternal thinker. See, verses 12 through 17 is the doing of a person who has eternal life. This is the positives. 8 and 9 and 5 and 6 were the negatives. These are the positives, the doing. Paul started this whole teaching in verse 1 with keeping your mind where? On the things above, eternally. Things of heaven where Christ is seated. So let me ask you as I bring this to a close this morning. And this one, I'll see a show of hands. Are you saved this morning? I see a show of hands. You saved. Are you born again? Okay, my question is this then. What have you done with it? What have you done with it? It's a gift. If you're born again and you say, and a whole bunch of hands went up here this morning, what have you done with that gift? One of the things you might start doing this new year is ask God, say, God, change my mindset. If you're born again, then ask God, change my mindset, Lord, so that I can start living for eternity the way you intended me to live. God is not a legalistic God. He gives us these things and he says we ought to live this way because this is how I intended you to live. This is my gift to you, eternal life, the way to live. Yes, you will live forever, eternally, a place with no time. But there is a way to live eternally also. And Paul sets the standards here. See, are you saved? Okay, great. And my New Year question for you, what have you done with it? I'm not talking about coming to a pastor or a preacher or whatever, but what have you done with it in your relationship with God? Have you increased your understanding in this loving relationship that you and him have so that you begin to live more and more eternally mindset? Have a more eternal mindset. Yeah. And that's a short one for today. See, next week, we're going to continue with this. A new year, a new mind. But next week, the subject going to be, why suffering and an eternal mindset go hand in hand? Why does suffering in this life and having an eternal mindset go hand in hand? Let me give you a hint, and then we'll close. Find it very interesting. Because I watch what goes around the world, especially in the body of Christ. And it's interesting when you look at our brothers and sisters in Muslim countries, third world countries. It's incredible. You got to ask yourself, how come in these countries and places, how come the power of God is so much more, I don't want to use the word real, but more recognizable? How come you read about from ministries like Voice of the Martyrs and places like that, the radical things that are happening in these countries? And I'm talking radical. I'm talking about people being raised from the dead. I'm talking about people being instantly healed. All these kinds of things. How come it's happening? Verifiable miracles. Why? In these countries where suffering is so great, is because their mindset is set on eternity. That's it. They don't have all the peripherals bothering them. They have to depend solely upon God for their next meal. And here in the West, we've become so concerned about the temporal that I think we lost our mind, our temporal, our eternal mindset. I was going to say lost our minds. But I believe that's the conclusion. We'll see next week. Write this down if you're taking notes. Most of you know this, but I want to remind you of this because this is so important. You can sit there this morning going, wow, that's a lot. Or you might be doubting some of the things I said. That's cool, whatever. But then you're going to have to take this up on your own. And you write this down, Acts 17:11. And it says, Acts 17:11, that those in Berea were more noble-minded than them in Thessalonica, that they studied the word daily to see if these things are true. And so I challenge you with that this morning. I'm challenging you from the word of God. Be the Berean. Go study on these things. If you need the notes, you can go online. You can go to the website. The notes, my notes are on there. You can use them. I challenge you this morning, this new year, ask God, say, God, show me if this stuff that Kahu was sharing is true. And if there is, Lord, convict me of changing my mind, the way I see and perceive things. This morning, I don't know where you all at with God. I know a bunch of you. I know you're born again. I know you love the Lord. But I don't know everybody. As Kelo said when he came up, there's a whole bunch of new faces in here. I don't know where you're at with God. Maybe you know of God, but you don't know God. I'm going to be here for prayer. My wife going to be in the back. Kelo going to be in the back. Come, talk story. Church ain't going to save you, gang. Your attendance to church will not save you. Right in the middle of the altar call. Would be Harry again. But if you don't know Jesus, come talk to somebody. We're here. Not about Emeola Church. I love Emeola Church, don't get me wrong. But not about building this. About helping people understand who Jesus is. Hey, if you get saved here and you go you go New Hope, Mana, Dorfe, wherever, that's God's kuleana, not mine. It's not about this. It's about there. Father, we thank you.